Silas bound in jail. Had no money for to go to bail.
Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on.
People who are against homeless people, their heart is in the wrong place. Their mind is in the wrong place. They're more concerned about themselves than about us.
Our only sin is that we're poor, and you want to hold that against us. What? Why? Why? There's been $150 million reallocated out of the LAPD budget. Has any of it been spent to do anything? Thank you.
Our city needs to commandeer the hotels. We have somewhere around 70,000 vacant motel rooms right now and places that are completely empty.
You know, all power to the people. You know, it's 4 days. We got to stop that. And the only way we're going to stop that is to build housing in the city of Los Angeles. We don't need no more condos. We don't need no more lofts. We need affordable housing. We need that affordable housing now.
When we look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and the kind of so-called leadership that this country has had in recent years, we see something even more fundamental about Dr. King, which was that he represented a figure who not only stood on political and economic issues, but who wedded those issues to basic questions of morality. Dr. King used to say often, the time is always right to do what is right. Who is doing right on our behalf in Washington or any place else in this country today? Almost no one. Almost no one. And so it is up to us to stand up ourselves.
Jail and violence too, but God's love will see us through.
Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on, hold on,
hold on,
hold on,
hold on.
Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on.
The only chain that we can stand is the chain from hand to hand.
Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on, hold on,
hold on,
hold on,
hold on,
hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on, hold on,
hold on,
hold on,
hold on.
This is Theo Henderson from Weedian House, and I'm here with a part of a direct action that's happening here. It's like the street watch is killing them with kindness. It's helping the unhoused neighbors, respecting them and creating a dignity, as well as showing that their solidarity in their struggle. So I have one of the organizers here. So let's have a chit chat with David. Hello, David.
Hi, Theo. How are you?
Doing good. So tell us what's going on here a little bit.
So today we're out here in support of our neighbors, unhoused neighbors in the El Pueblo Special Enforcement and Cleaning Zone. Sorry, the bus. It's a brutal enforcement zone that's based around the Bridge Home. There's one over there on the corner near Union Station. Ever since they put it up a couple years ago, the residents around here have been getting swept. At first daily, at least weekly now. There are people here with disabilities that we can see, that we can't see. There are some older residents. There are people who just don't want to move, who just want to sleep and not be bothered during COVID. So we're out here to support them, block this sweep from happening, and hopefully send a message to stop this in perpetuity.
I noticed that there were police officers over on across the street there. Are they part of the what's going about action? I haven't seen, why are they there? Do you think that they're part of this ongoing situation?
Maybe. We blasted this on social media to try to get some support, and we got awesome support. And we may have blasted it loud enough for these cops to show up. I don't know what their move is, but they haven't been out as much with the care teams. Care and Care Plus was a result of the Services Not Sweeps Coalition doing really good work on the ground to get services instead of just these brutal sweeps. Cops were supposed to be deleted from the equation, but they still are little
lurking.
Satellites. Yeah, they'll still kind of be around in case sanitation feels like it gets too dangerous.
I noticed they always seem to be skulking about somewhere and ever ready to come down and criminalize the unhoused. So that's very disturbing, but that's also indicative of what people think of unhoused people. And there's the sanitation truck going by that's scoping out the situation. Let's see what else pops up. David, thank you for your time and thank you for your perspective on what's going on. I'm going to mill about and I'm going to see what other takes or what other experiences what the unhoused have out here. Thank you very much, David.
Thanks for covering it, Theo.
This is Theo Henderson from Weedy Unhoused, and this is More to Follow. And I thank you all for listening. And let us hope we meet in the light of understanding. My name is Theo Henderson from Weedy Unhoused, and she's going to tell us her story. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Shirley.
So how long have you been unhoused?
I've been unhoused since April of 2015, minus 122 days incarcerated, which was considered housing, so I had to start all over again June 16th of 2016.
So what has been your experience? Yeah, I know water does that. How has it been out here? Has it been an easy transition or what's it been tough?
The struggle is real. It's so rough and so tough out here. It's not even funny, especially for myself and those others that are trying to stay clean and sober. It's hard to be walking through the ghettos, the skid row, the neighborhoods where people are using and abusing drugs and alcohol because they don't have any better coping skills. They need the tools and services in order to make a difference and better their lives. And none of us deserve to be on the ground like this out in the cold. And we need your help. And we would appreciate it if you would please house us because there's plenty of housing. I walked through Skid Row last night, East LA. I see the warehouses and the hotels and everything, and it's just real ridiculous how these buildings are closed and they should be opened for housing at affordable rates.
My question is this, like, because I have two, I have some frightening experiences. What was it like your first night being out from jail and living out here? What was it like?
Well, to be honest with you, it's unbelievable, and it's scary, and it's a dark, long journey that is traumatizing, and it's depressing, and it's only getting worse, and it's almost to the point to where I consider giving in to the devil, going back to using drugs and alcohol, even though I have the tools to not do so, and I know that's not the solution to the problem.
But it helps numb the pain, is that what you're trying to say?
All it does is numb the pain temporarily, but when you really get down to it, the nitty-gritty, off the pills, off the mind-altering chemicals, trust and believe, the reality is there. The pain is still there, and it's so deep that it's hard to even comprehend.
That's very powerful and very poignant. Like I say, would you be open to Project Room Key?
I'm not familiar with Project Room Key.
Project Room Key is like what about the hotels? Instead of going to a shelter, they put you in a hotel and try to fast track you to housing. Would you be okay with that?
Yes, I believe that would be a good solution. One of the solutions. A better solution than the shelters. I've been in shelters for many years, and far few in between got permanent housing.
How is your experiences with shelters? Are they a pleasant experience or are they pretty tough?
They are challenging, and they are dramatic.
Yeah.
And it's really like hard to comprehend and to believe what you're going through and seeing. And what was the question?
Well, they said what's your experience, and you just basically answered it.
My experience. So my last housing I was in was Hope of the Valley Shelter.
Okay.
And I had my service animal with me. Mm. Unfortunately, there was another couple, a young couple, that had gotten a pit bull from a kill shelter that had a muzzle on him, and he was there the first day, and he came and lunged at my shelter, at my service animal, and came out of the muzzle just about on the first day, and that was traumatizing. I stood away, but what was more traumatizing was the fact that this pet bull actually unleashed, uncollared, unattended, on the cot, got off the bed and attacked my dog and almost killed my dog, causing me $500, $600 services where I almost lost my animal and my companion, my mental support. And what happened was eventually these people came back. They were allowed to come back to the premises and live right there in front of me still, no consequences, none at all whatsoever. And I just couldn't deal with it no more, so I left the shelters and came back to the streets. And I no longer have my companion, my shelter, my service animal, unfortunately. It's just that traumatizing.
This is Theo Henderson from We Are the House. I thank you for telling me your story. Is there anything else would you like to tell us that we could walk away with?
Please help us get off the ground. It doesn't matter what color or race, or religion, or any of that. We're all people. We're all human beings, and we deserve to be treated with some kind of dignity. And there's enough money. There's enough places. They're building all these homes and apartments and stuff, but they're not affordable. We need affordable housing. This $1,200, $1,400 for a studio apartment is real ridiculous. So if we can come together as a community, as a people, we're trying to make a difference. These mind games that they're doing is no good, but keeping us down on the ground, under the thumb, money power control trip, and it ain't right. And they know what they're doing, and they're not helping us any. They're being selfish, heartless.
Thank you very much. This is Theo Henderson from We Dian House, and I thank you all for listening, and may we again meet in the light of understanding. This is Theo Henderson from We Dian House. I have to stop by this excellent sign here. It's Homes Not Zoned. This capitalizes what I say all the time. Stop arresting, start housing. Here is right here, we have the shelter in place because these are goes into ordinance to the CDC guidelines. So we have one of the activists here. Let's get her take on the situation. Hello, introduce us to to the audience.
Hi, my name is Katie. I am a member of Streetwatch Los Angeles. I am also here as press for Knock.LA, and I am jail support, which will hopefully not be necessary.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, I just wish that the city would follow CDC guidelines at a minimum, which is not disturbing tents. And really what they should be doing is, you know, especially since we're across the street from these luxury condos, housing people, both because it's the humane, ethical thing to do, but also for you fiscal conservatives out there, it's also a lot cheaper than this and all of the outfall of this. So that's my take. It's just, it's wasteful money-wise. It is unethical. It's inhumane.
So what motivated you to come out here on an early Tuesday morning? Because you could be enjoying that cover of the sleep, enjoying a donut and coffee. What made you come out here? What's motivating you to come?
Since November, sweeps have been canceled without notice. They have been replaced with spot cleaning without notice. It's been entirely inconsistent. So the people here who live here have no warning. In many cases, they moved all their tents when they didn't have to, which then just exposes them to COVID. And yeah, they're just sick and tired of it, and they wanted our assistance today to make a stand for them, with them, to create a blockade so the police could not do their sweep, if they even decide to do it today. Who even knows?
Very true. I noticed too what's been going on as well is that they have been, because of more attention of like Streetwatch and other activists, they have been trying to figure out their next move. And one part of their next move that's considerably consistent is, like, for example, today at 10 o'clock, I want to draw our listeners' attention that there's people that has called themselves, their vigilante group, called Friends of Echo Park, and they disdain the unhoused people. And these people were called on, and they have latched forces with Mitchell Farrell. And I want to take the time to explain that, because this last 4 years with the President Trump that we had, he has been exciting antagonistic vigilantes and violence, and he's upping the ratchet. Mitchell Farrell and Juan Ferragoso, they are the same. They are doing the same thing, trying to ramp up or ratchet up this anti-unhoused sentiment to get them removed and try to get them put in like the Staples Center or somewhere where they won't have to see the unhoused and houselessness. But the reality and the stupidity of this issue is that the more you take move those unhoused, people are becoming unhoused daily. So it's like putting a Band-Aid over a water faucet that's keep flooring with water. You're not going to stop it. Instead of coming together and trying to create solutions like housing for the unhoused, they rather use their time and their energy banding together and having and stalking people like Riley Montgomery, stalking activists who are trying to change the world for the better. So if you have any insight on this?
Oh, the only insight I have is just that, you know, if anyone sees the Friends of Echo Park Lakes flyers, do not believe them, because the flyers say that they are on the same team as we are, and they are not. We have only seen them be antagonistic, both to the unhoused and by harassing members of Streetwatch. And it's really gross, and I think that if you're actually interested in solutions for the unhoused, you have to look at the data. You have to talk to unhoused people, because they're human beings. They're not a rat infestation in the city, which is often how people talk about them here, and it is infuriating.
And one other added point that I would like to point to, because people that have issues with substances or issues they have with mental health, they don't need to be criminalized. You can't shoot them to be sanity. You can't shoot them and criminalize them to be sober. You can create places and programs to be supportive of a part of our community. Everyone in their family has someone that may have some mental health challenges. Everyone in their family has someone that you may be, even if it's a cousin, they may have substance usage issues. And if we don't use a humane approach in trying to figure the solution out, instead of running toward guns and police officers and vigilantes like Friends of Echo Park, that the city council, Mitchell Farrell and Juan Fragoso, embraces, instead of talking to unhoused people. To date, they refuse to talk to unhoused people. They don't want to hear their needs and concerns. They want to dictate it. And that last that I heard of that was earlier World War II, and that we know how that ended up. Is there anything else would you like to say before we log off?
Oh, sure. Just to kind of echo your point about mental health and substance abuse, I mean, Yes, if anyone has ever met someone upper middle class or even like higher, like at some kind of inherited wealth, you know that if those people are alcoholics or they have some sort of mental illness, they just coast on their money and they never see any consequences that unhoused people or even people who are working class, who, because we have such a threadbare safety net now. So it's not a matter of control. It's not a matter of self-control or morals or anything like that. It's purely about money. That if you have the money to get the care you need, then you're fine. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the money to get the care you need, you're on the streets and you're maligned for it as though it's your lack of personal responsibility, and that's horseshit.
And unfortunately, some of us that's our poor and working class, we drink into those internalized images. Mm-hmm. But I have heard from medical personnel stating it is a medical issue with substance and mental health issues. And unfortunately, when we talk about Medicare for all, that gets silenced, or medical issues with substance usage, that definitely gets silenced. And people don't want to hear that reality. They rather, if they feel more comfortable blaming the victim instead of helping people find their best selves. Is there anything else you'd like?
Oh, sure. Well, just to speak to that point, I have medicated babe on here because I have PTSD.
Yeah, okay.
And I have access to the healthcare that I need in order to be like a functioning, happy person. Right. And everyone deserves that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they definitely don't deserve to be out here on the street.
Exactly. No one does.
This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House. I thank you for your time, Katie. Yep. And I hope we again meet in the light of understanding.
Where's Lhasa at?
Lhasa
should be out here too, the son of a bitches. Because they're also a problem too. Their job was never to do this, where they were going to go against the homeless people. They were supposed to help us years ago. When I got here 17 years ago, they were supposed to help us. They haven't done other than to give my personal information to them,
right.
LAPD.
Right, exactly.
And so that they can go ahead and you know.
And this is a homeless person. Yeah. Throwing around. She would be Jew. But did they help us get up off the ground? Did they make a difference? No.
Of course
the
not.
The solution for them is they need the corner so I can get paid and go up the ladder and arrest the same people.
Yeah.
And overseer the jails and prisons.
Well, here's a good one. Their bridge that they created is now collapsing. Okay, it's now collapsing because of the fact that they can't do very much because there's no housing available. The shelters are too stupid to put people in. A lot of us don't want to go in there for what? To get another disease?
Yeah. Or get criminalized there.
No, that's a bunch of bull and that needs to stop. That needs to stop.
So we just here on the ground are hearing about that they are not going to do the displacement methods that they're usually doing. They're just going to spot clean. So this is what activism and organizing really does. It does work. So when you hear people whining and complaining about people protesting, that's the only way we're going to get things done. We cannot just sit up there and allow ourselves to be steamrolled and not heard. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House. And this is, may we again meet in the light of understanding and act in it. Today on House News, we are here live at Nuri Martinez's home. She is recipient of free money that's given by President Joe Biden from FEMA, dated January 26, 2021. To date, she has not utilized that funds in order for us to utilize it to help the unhoused in the communities that surround here and other places all over Los Angeles. The question then becomes, what is stopping her? The issues used to be there was no money. Now we have the money. We have the hotels. What else is needed? I'm suspecting political will would need to be taken into account. Nuri Martinez has stated multiple times that unhoused people are a danger to her precious child, and not knowing that unhoused families are also out here on the street. Perhaps this money could be used to be able to get house these unhoused families as well. This is Unhoused News. Good morning, this is Theo Henderson from Weedy Unhoused. The top story here today is we are here planning to present City Council Member President Nuri Martinez at her home a fake check to show her Marie Antoinette type of behavior here to Los Angeles unhoused community. Did you know that we have now the money to put unhoused people in hotels and extend Project Room Key? Did you know that city council members, as well as the mayor, refuses to use that money to put the unhoused people in these places? Did you also know that they are planning to do a massive violent sweep of unhoused people at Echo Park Lake pretty soon in the next couple, 3 days? Did you also know that they are continually to try to do brutal sweeps against unhoused people and use the reason that they don't want help? There is absolutely no excuse for them not to accept this money because it's not coming out of their pocket. But the fact of the matter is, this has always been an issue of they did not want to help the unhoused, because unless they're in some far-flung place, that's the only acceptable solution that they're willing to talk about. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House, and there will be more to follow.
Tomorrow at 3 p.m., Black Lives Matter will be here to protest the police association. Right across the street from the ACLU is the police unions that are giving the money to police departments here in Los Angeles to continue to brutalize and marginalize in African-American and Latino communities. And on that note of continuing to marginalize, Mayor Garcetti had taken $150 million outside of the 54% of the budget of Los Angeles City Council who approved it. However, he returned that money, and right now, currently, the police department here in Los Angeles has over $3 billion, and the housing crisis barely has over $10 million in order for servicing the unhoused community. So we know where the money is, and we know where the money goes. So the next time you hear some NIMBY talking about we should be giving more money to the police, or you hear them whine about their safety's an issue, you can realize and says, well, maybe when we take your $3 billion away, maybe your job security will be an issue. So here is it is. This is the reality that we are here to protest these kind of associations and take away their money in order to help the community instead of criminalizing them. In other unhoused news, January 2021, we found that we have reached a total of 165 unhoused deaths and counting. The rough data that we have so far of COVID-19 deaths of unhoused people in Los Angeles County taking from December 2020 were 71 deaths. Keeping in mind on the weather that's coming up, that has been inclement, particularly for the Texas unhoused, these numbers are also indicative of a growing malaise of the weather environments are working against the unhoused community, and housing is very much, very, very important.
We close this unhoused news with an update. Hilda Solis has put her name on this project. And as you can see, these are supposed to be tentative tiny homes. Tiny homes also, I want to break down this information for you. African Americans and Latino people are four times likely to be unhoused. And environmental and oppression, racism and oppression is very real. So as you can see here on the statement here, it says they have arsenic and lead. And if anyone knows that arsenic and lead is poison, so this is what if the unhoused community gets this lead or arsenic poisoning? Where are their families that get this? What would be the recourse, or what would happen if they would be able to contract this? So if we want to really look at this, look how where we are. We're so far away from most of society. We're next to a recycling bin, so you can also hear the noise violations and noise pollution as well. They don't stop because it's COVID-19. So you're going to be dealing with auditory pollution as well as in-ground and surface pollution. But this is their solution of helping in our house. Who's going to speak up for this, or who's going to speak out for this? And what precautions are going to be put in place if unhoused people do catch arsenic poisoning or lead poisoning, or families, because it also affects learning, memory, cognitive abilities, and other kind of skills that you may need in order to navigate in this world. This is Theo Henderson, and this is Unhoused News. Hello, this is Theo Henderson from Weedy Unhoused. We are here in El Pueblo for the second attempt to try to displace the unhoused community here at El Pueblo. And El Pueblo has a history of police coming by along with sanitation and steamrolling them away from their places of their livelihood, basically, of the unhoused. They're trying to here to survive. We're here in a cold weather temperature. We're here with, there's COVID-19, and we have people here lining up and setting up to do the same very thing that they know that they're not supposed to do. And when we allow blanket power to police officers, this is what happens. But it takes the citizens to organize and to make sure that we hold them in check. And that is what they fail to realize, that we don't work for the police work for us, and they will do what we ask them to do. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy Unhoused. This is we're here following up on the second successful stop of a brutal sweep on a cold Tuesday here in El Pueblo. We have another activist that we interviewed before, but we're doing a follow-up interview to give us some touch conversation a bit and explain a little bit how, why do you think that there's such a heavy presence of police officers this time? So why is there such a heavy presence of police officers here?
So we're actually surprised about that because we feel pretty good relationship with our sanitation team here. They're usually pretty respectful of the residents, and when they're not, you know, we hold them accountable. But we suspect that someone from one of the lofts across the street potentially called them. It could have been the church, but a lot of times we see on like apps like Citizen or Nextdoor, like chatter about actions like this, and given the amount of antipathy towards unhoused people on those networks, it's like makes total sense that someone would just call the cops. They have a lot of suspicion towards their unhoused neighbors, and I've seen it specifically in this building. So
one of the questions I have too is that why is it that the police always, you notice they come out in mass when these NIMBYs that always are making these spurious claims about unhoused people?
Yeah, it's interesting because usually when they come out en masse, there isn't like an actual like quote crime happening. It's a very vague call about someone threatening. On Citizen, every day you see hundreds of man with knife, woman with knife, and you know, honestly, if I was a single lady out on the street, I'd probably have a knife on me too.
Exactly.
So you know, that's all very hypothetical shit. It seems like to me. You know, I don't really see a lot of police coming out to help with the fact that four people a day are dying out here on the street. Mm-hmm. We've had COVID cases out on this block. We've had overdose deaths, very many overdose deaths since the summer. These guys haven't been out here for that, you know.
Well, but question is, too, is like when you pointed out, to backtrack a little bit about the safety of women, is I was having a conversation about why some of the women are having dogs and other things. It's a very valid concern. You're open to anything out here. You're very vulnerable. House men, too, but women much more so. This is why that's such a thing. But I always say when they always are saying that when a woman or because they've done the same thing to me at the park. So I do know they'll quickly come if they feel like that they're threatened. But see, they're usually the aggressor. And when the person that's unhoused is defending themselves, then they want to start with sudden use weaponize the police to justify why they should be there. But, you know, it's not, I rarely see the police usually arresting the people that start the problem.
Which exactly.
So that's one of the things I wanted to say. Also, I wanted to touch upon is, too, that there is 4 a day that is dying,
and there's no trauma-informed care, with the exception of activists like Street Watch and Community Health, Hollywood Health. Those kind of actions are being taken by people that are not paid by the city to go in and care for our residents and our neighbors here. So what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. We've done a lot of de-escalating work here. We had someone, you know, who came up and he was using a substance that had it kind of worked up. He ended up stealing someone else's cell phone that we were charging.
Right.
And that ended up bringing the police in, not on our accord. We were trying to keep the cops out.
Right.
They got involved. And suddenly we had 20 police surrounding us. And
over a lost phone.
Yeah, for over a lost phone. Mm-hmm. And their main thing was, who should we press charges against? Mm-hmm. And my thing was like, please leave right now. But we were in this position of putting our bodies in between the tasers and the drawn guns that were coming out against this unhoused man. And I think it's just like, over and over, we have our caretakers in the community, like so many people here who are, you know, bringing Narcan out for their neighbors who are using opiates, or, you know, holding on to PPE for people, holding on to clothing so that someone's cold, you know, they don't die of exposure that night. Like, there's just so much mutual aid work happening on this grassroots level that's like every day showing up what the efforts of the city are doing, you know, like on a shoestring budget.
Absolutely. And that's one of the bizarre things is the police gets over billions of dollars to come out and terrorize and harass people and unhouse people. But yet here's grassroots that are really trying to stop the make the solution that we have it more humane and less criminalization. But it seems like listening from the top that they keep talking. For example, Mayor Garcetti had a horrific a state of the city address talking about crime incidents due to, and then also calling for the need for more police officers. So here's the bizarre thing about it is that, you know, there's people that have lost their jobs, there's people that have lost their homes, and I interviewed an individual that was doing desperation survival stealing. And that's a conversation that we need to have.
Absolutely.
It's because of the fact that we know that that's going to happen. But the issue is, it's not more police, but it's the fact of the matter is, what can we do to change the situation that people don't do the same thing that they did like 50 years ago?
Exactly.
Worthy poor and unworthy poor. So anything else would you like to add?
Yeah, I think that's the part that people always forget about when, you know, we say defund the police, we say abolish the police. We're not talking about just leaving a void there. We're talking about filling it with that community care that you brought up, that idea of people coming together, bringing each other that health care, bringing each other the mental health care, the addiction support. All of that stuff is what will fill the void that punitive policing has formed in this society. Like, that's what it's all about.
Joanna, thank you very much for your insight on things, and I appreciate your time. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House, and there will be more to follow. This is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House. We have a person that wants to do an interview. So tell us what your name is, ma'am.
My name is Rosa Venegas, and I am 76 years old. And my request to Gavin Newsom and Garcetti, how they are announcing daily, and the daily news announcing that people stay home, keep 6 feet apart and use the mask. Come they agreed to move us. We are homeless. We are people. We have feelings the same of the rest of the people. That is my complaint.
Actually, it's a very valid complaint. We're human beings and we're citizens here too. We have the same rights as housed people, but somehow we don't are not believe that so. So what do you think that they should do? Why do you think the police are here today?
Pardon me?
Why do you think the police are here today?
Oh, to protect the sanitation, not to us. The police is here to harass the homeless and to give support to the sanitation. And I say again, we are people, we have feelings, we are in the same risk to get the virus because I see that they don't care about us, like saying, oh, they are homeless. No, yes, we are, but we are people.
Why do you think that sanitation needs protection against people that they want to live and be in peace?
Sanitation doesn't care about us, really. They don't care about us. They have harassed us in so many ways. The police has harassed me. In the past time, same officer gave me 3 tickets in a row, three Tuesdays in a row.
I'm sorry to hear that. Why would they give you tickets? Because you're just trying to survive.
Because those tickets I got for using the shopping carts. And I told the officer, everybody, always we have used the shopping carts, and why he was giving me the tickets, and his answer was because the others left, and I see you with the shopping carts.
On a different lighter note, I see you have a beautiful dog. What's his name?
Nicolas.
Nicolas. How long have you had the dog?
For 5 years, and I have been here for 5 years.
Oh, wow. You have a very pretty dog. I can see you have a good connection with him. One of the questions I have, and I see some people that are out here with the dog. Why did you get a dog?
I feel like a protection from my dog. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rosie. This is Theo Henderson from We In The House. I appreciate your comments. It's very on time. And I will come back. Is it okay if I come back and interview again?
Yes, thank you for coming and protecting us. Thank you.
No problem. There is Theo Henderson from Weedy and House. There will be more to follow. Theo Henderson from Weedy and House, and good morning. We're here at El Pueblo for the third day of trying to prevent the brutal sweeps and brutal criminalization that often ensues when it's the street cleaning. Today I was informed a little bit about the sanitation and the police, and El Asa was here. And one of the people that's on the ground that experiences will give us a little more insight. Lou, please introduce yourself.
My name's Lou. I'm with Street Watch, the downtown chapter. Haven't been involved super long because I actually am new to California. I moved here during the pandemic.
Where are you originally from?
Ohio, actually.
Oh, I'm from Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, nice, nice. Midwestern. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been, we've been coming out here, different Street Watch people have been coming out here for, I think, a couple years now. El Pueblo was actually the first special enforcement zone, so they're pretty, like, well-seasoned, I guess, with these sweeps and stuff. So when I first started coming out here, like, it was just kind of, you know, helping people move their things, filming sanitation, making sure they weren't getting into, like, any shit, you know. And you can definitely notice, like, a change in their behavior when you're there with a camera versus not. Like, residents have told us that, too. But then, yeah, like, over the, like, through the pandemic, I would say starting, like, in November-ish or so, like, sanitation has just become, like, so inconsistent. And, like, they would show up with their full team, and, like, everybody on this street was, like, ready, moved across the street. And then sanitation would be like, oh, no, you don't have to move. It's just a spot clean. And everyone would be like, well, what the fuck? I woke up at 6 a.m. to move my shit, put myself, you know, in risk with COVID and whatnot. And so actually kind of how this, like, I wouldn't say how it necessarily started, but, like, maybe a couple months ago, there's also an enforcement zone right next to this. The Civic Center enforcement zone, like, they're literally, like, right next to each other. And on Thursdays is when that zone is supposed to get swept. But they haven't swept that zone at all. They just do spot cleaning every week. And 1 week they were going to do a full sweep on Civic Center. And I was there filming. And this one person in a tent just like said, no, I'm not leaving. And the cops like came and talked to her. She just said, no, I'm not leaving. And like kind of nothing ended up happening. And so that day I came back over here to El Pueblo and started telling residents like what happened. Like, hey guys, this woman was just chilling in her tent saying she has COVID, doesn't want to move. And so then a lot of the residents here were like, well, that, then we're not going to move either. We're tired of moving.
That makes sense. And people don't understand when you're displaced like this, this is one of the brutal aspects of it. I defy anyone that lives in a house to have like 5 minutes to move all of their belongings in their home and to go into another location out on the other side of the building. And how much work that takes and how much it takes out of you. Now add to it that you have health issues or you have physical challenges. Now who the hell would have that kind of energy and time to do that? So that's the reality of it with many people that are sitting here and speaking about houselessness or these solutions to unhoused people and have no earthly idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of people too unfortunately assume that like, you know, everything in these tents is trash.
Yeah.
Or they assume that like everything that like people have around them, like, oh, it's just trash. Like these people don't actually have possessions. And it's like, no, like these are people's things. Like you can't just like throw their shit away. And something that I've learned actually like through just talking with people is that like, yeah, some people will sort of like line their space with trash to deter people from like stealing from them. Like, you know, I mean, I think people like kind of, I know you've said this many times, like housed people are like very afraid of unhoused people thinking that they're going to like, you know, steal from them, assault them, whatever. But like, it's so the opposite. Like it really is the unhoused people that are, you know, daily experiencing attacks, both like from other unhoused people, from housed people, from the police, from, I mean, it's just, it's never ending.
And the thing of it is where housed people can pick up the phone and complain about an unhoused person, the police will instantaneously be on the spot. But if it was a housed person with my own personal experience that attacking an unhoused person, they are not coming to the defense of the unhoused person. They're going to gaslight them. They're going to dismiss what their claims are. And they're just basically going to take the side of the housed people. So this is one of the reasons why when I heard yesterday that really perturbed me was when one of the residents talking about that she doesn't buy that the people of color and vulnerable unhoused people don't need the police. I said, you know, that's errant nonsense. They are one of the perpetrators of it. I give you a case in point. There was a family, there was an unhoused woman with a family, a child, and she was trying to find a way to stay into a hotel tonight. And I wished we had had the services to help her. She called the police. No, I don't think she called the police. Someone called the police, and the police took the baby. So now, you tell me, a vulnerable woman, then what will be the first person to call the police about helping her and her child? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, another example that I have heard a lot, one of my, I guess we're friends. I don't know if you'd consider me a friend. I consider him a friend, but like, one of my friends here in El Pueblo, like, he said, you know, there's been people that have tried to attack him on many occasions, and he'll call the police. And then the moment the police ask, like, oh, what's your address?
Yeah.
And he'll say, oh, I live on this corner. They immediately hang up.
Yep.
And
I've had that happen.
Yeah. And he's just like, how am I, you know, like, obviously, you know, he understands the problems with the police as well. But he's like, but like, you know, this person is trying to like kill me. I have to somehow protect myself. And yeah, they just hang up.
I had was stabbed a few years ago, and I had a similar situation, and I had to go inside and get a house person to call, or a business or institution to call for them to come out, because they will not come out for unhoused people. Just don't listen to that nonsense. The only time they'll come out is all you have to do is say, I see this unhoused person, he's got a knife or a gun, and I'm living in the house. You give your address, they will be there. Unhoused person being attacked by a house person, and they'll have the opposite end of the situation, they will not come out.
Yep.
And they won't listen or dismiss them. I think we've covered most of it. Is there anything else would you like to let the audience know about the situations or from your perspective?
I don't think so. Just that, like, I mean, we definitely just need more people coming out and more people, like, you know, making a fuss. Because it's just, the solution is so clear, right? There's 66,000 people living on the street in LA County. There's 200,000 empty hotel rooms. There's, you know, 70,000 empty apartment units. Like, we just need to open the door. Like, that's all that needs to happen. And it's, yeah.
Lou, thank you very much. You have been very insightful. Like I say, I'm going to mill about a little bit and try to interview a few more people. And I look forward to seeing you again, once again here. And this is Theo Henderson for you guys. And I hope we are meeting again in the light of understanding. Thank you for listening to episode 42 of Weedy and House. I hope we learned a lot about what it is to be proactive and in the struggle. No one deserves to be evicted or forcibly removed when there is a lack of housing available and the city's reluctance to do something about it. We have now the money from the state from President Joe Biden, but we still have the cowardice of the city. They refuse to use the money to command their hotels. So it stands to reason, why would we force people when we have the financial wherewithal to put them in places to distract them and displace them in further areas and causing terror, unless that is the aim. Terrorism, homeland terrorism. This is C.O. Henderson from Weedy and House, and I thank you all for listening, and I hope to see you again for episode 43, where I interview the unhoused community in Oceanside, California. Let us meet in the light of understanding, and let us try to do something about it.